Good morning. It's a privilege for me to be here this morning, and it's been probably about a decade now that I've stand at the presence of God's people like this to share the word of God, and it's really, really a honor for me, especially using this anointed mic. I've never used this kind of mic in my life to preach or teach the word of God. I just want to say a big thank you to Pastor and the leaders of this church and to every one of you that is sitting down in this classroom this morning. May God richly bless every one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So quickly, I want us to read from the book of Proverbs chapter 3, 1 to 7, but I'm focusing on verse 5 to 7. Hallelujah. I'm using the New King James Version. Say, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart, keep my commandment, for length of days and long life and peace they will add unto you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tables of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. Verse 5 and 6 to 7, that's what I like. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to speak on the topic, holding on to God. Holding on to God. It's very, very important that every one of us as children of God, we need to hold on to God. No matter what we're going through in life, no matter the challenges that we've been faced with, one of the teachings in the kingdom of God is to hold on to God. You don't give up because you've been facing some sort of difficulties in life. Because you have been born into the God family, because of that, you need to hold on to God at every level or at every, in every challenges that comes across your way. You need to always hold on to God. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we're dealing with holding on to God. So quickly, I'm going to pray for every one of us again. I know you've prayed for me. Hallelujah. I know you've prayed for me, so I want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I commit every heart, every person, boy or girl, man and woman in this classroom today. Lord, I ask, oh God, that you open their heart and their mind and let your word enter into them in the name of Jesus. And I pray for clarity of explanations. I pray that you give me confidence. Confidence, oh God, boldness, oh God, to be able to declare your word without fear and favor in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your word, oh God, drive away every manner of everything that have come to plague anyone in this church in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So quickly, like as I've read in Proverbs chapter 3, 1 to 7, we're going to look quickly, look at some characters. First of all, I want to take one character from the secular world that probably you might have known many, many years ago by the name Susan Wesley. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Susan Wesley was born into a family of, a Christian family, and she had a very, very complicated life. She was a Christian anyway, but she had a complicated life that almost, ruined her Christian life. But one thing that I admire about her life was her prayer life. Hallelujah. Her faith. Hallelujah. That's what I admire. She was able to hold on to God. Despite the crisis and the pain she went through, she was able to hold on to God till the last moment where she gave her breath. Hallelujah. So one of the things that Susan Wesley gave birth to 19 children. And among the 19 children, 9 died. Susan Wesley, by herself, homeschooled her children, taught her children how to study the Bible, teach them secular things by herself. So, hallelujah. Susan Wesley was in prison twice because of unpaid debt. Susan Wesley experienced two fire disasters in her lifetime, one of which almost claimed the life of his son, John Wesley, who was rescued from a second-story building. Praise God. Her family life was full of obstacles and challenges. Susan Wesley struggled with finance to manage her family. Samuel Wesley was her husband, who also have a lot of complications with finance and many other things. He was having problems with the church. He wasn't disciplined with finance as well. But among all these things, they were able to raise two giants that the world cannot forget. Some person like John Wesley and Charles Wesley. Hallelujah. This can only be God. This can only be, holding on to God for them to have been able to raise this generous of the gospel that every one of us, if you are a Christian or a child of God, probably you will know about them or you might have heard about this generous. These were the people who find the Methodist Church. Glory to God. So, hallelujah. So, Charles Wesley himself wrote about 6,500 hymns, which of course some of it is what we still sang today in the church. And John Wesley was one of the person who won about 1 million souls to Christ. Glory to God. Now, this is where I want to kind of go into this message a little bit. Susan Wesley, when she was 17, she left her family and then went to one of the church in England. That's where she met with Samuel Wesley and got married to Samuel Wesley. And when she was 19. After they got married, the whole situation turned around. Things weren't good the way she thought. So just like many of us today, when we dash out into our destiny, we think that everything is going to be okay. But there are things that are inside our destiny that have not been revealed to us. There are chaos, there are problems inside of it. They've not been revealed. But we only see the pleasantries that are around our destiny, and we think that life is just butter and bread. And then at the end of the day, when those difficulties begin to show up, sometimes some of us don't know what to do. But in her case, she was able to focus on prayer. There were times, having 10 children alone is already a big job to do at home as a mother. Praise God. It's a big job. It's a big task. That alone can make her, take her prayer time away from her. But despite that, she was able to give 2 hours daily to prayers. Glory to God. But you see, the enemy came into that family because there was something special in that family. Something special in that family. Two great heroes was about to come, and the devil begins to kill the children one after the other. But you see, the devil is so stupid and he's so foolish. He's not wise enough, but God is more wiser than anything you can think of. Why he keep killing the baby, God keep giving the anointing to Susan to keep giving birth to children. Glory to God. And by the time he came to the ninth one, Satan fed up. The enemy fed up. He couldn't continue anymore. So from the 10th one, they begin to stay alive. Hallelujah. They begin to stay alive. And from there on, things begin to get better. Things begin to get better. In our life today, there are some certain challenges we are going through or that we might be going through. You don't know why you're going through that challenges or through that pain. But the truth is, there is something that is very, very important in your life that God wants to do, and whatever vessel that God is using, the same vessel that the enemy wants to destroy. Hallelujah. But God will not give up on you until he fulfills his purpose on your life. Praise God. So like God never gave up in the life of Susan Wesley and her family. Though they made a wrong choice, they made some certain decisions that weren't, too okay, but then God was with them in that pain, in that difficulties, in that challenge. In all of that, they hold on to God. Sometimes if it were to be some people, despite what she went through, she would have deviated from the faith. She would have given up from the faith. She never gave up. She stick to God and keep praying to God. Listen, to lose 9 children is not an easy task as a woman. It takes strength to deliver babies. Glory to God. But all of this time, this woman was a woman of faith. Hallelujah. A woman of prayer. Glory to God. While her husband on his own was not too very responsible, hallelujah, he wasn't disciplined in the areas of money, but as God will have it, at the end of the day, God just saved the family. Glory to God. Everything is pointing unto Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So this family, despite their crisis, they were looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. So that is what I'm trying to tell us today. Whatever the situation may be in your life, don't ever give up. Look up to Jesus. Jesus is the answer to it all. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Jesus is the answer. There are many issues in life. There are many problems in life. When we've been giving birth to, and when we come to the age 17, 18, you know, we tend to make our own decisions. Sometimes, when the older ones are telling us this is the right way, we don't want to listen. But, you know, it is better to listen to those who know better than, you know, better than us, because they've been there. Glory to God. We need to listen to them. Hallelujah. So all of these calamities happen to this family, and at the end of the day, At the end of the day, the prayer of Susan Wesley changed histories. It changed histories because she was a woman of faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Trusting God is the faith to foolishly and faithfully follow God in the face of accusations, trials, death warrant, oppositions, rebellious circumstances of life, even when you do not understand what God is doing, that is holding on to God. Hallelujah. I want to read that again just because of for people who are writing. Trusting God is the faith to foolishly and faithfully follow God in the face of accusations, trials of faith, death warrant, oppositions, rebellious circumstances of life, even when you do not understand what God is doing, that is holding on to God. Every one of us here, this is the equation. You know, maybe you are not into one, but maybe the other one might be something that is affecting you. Now, it's only faith to hold on to God that can make you to overcome those kinds of trials in life. Every one of us that are here, if you think about the journey of your life, you have experienced one challenge, one pain, one difficulties, one another. You know, by the grace of God, you were able to overcome. Many times every year in this church, since I've been in this church, Pastor will always show us the video how this church began from one tiny room into a bigger place, and they had the people grow. All those periods were challenges, especially the recent one, pandemic, when the pandemic hit. Pastor told us that he wasn't even having a clue on what to do. But by the grace of God, you know, before it happened, God have already made an arrangement, the next step to, you know, to be able to overcome that thing. Eventually, when pandemic hit, Pastor Paul was already here. Hallelujah. So God will always place people in your life to rescue you at the time you know you need them. Praise God. So this takes me to the story of a young man called Joseph in the Bible. Hallelujah. The story of Joseph is a very fantastic story. Because of time, I'm not going to use all the scriptures that I prepare for it. First of all, conspiracy, accusation, discipline, and humility is a stepping stone to climbing the ladder of God and actualizing God's plan. In Genesis 37, 5 to 9, we heard about this young man called Joseph, and he was having a very fantastic future. God showed him everything. He had a dream. First of all, the dream he had was, you know, his brother was going to bow before him and all of that stories. And then he had another one. And then it was a star, the moons and the sun. So that includes his father and every other thing that was going to bow before him. And he told the story to his dad and to his sibling. And what the Bible says that his sibling hated him the more. Hallelujah. You see, what the sibling didn't understand is that they think that seniority is humility. No, seniority is not humility. Before God gave him the revelation or the vision, it was God saw humility in Joseph. Glory to God. But this is what happened. When God showed Joseph that revelation, God did not show Joseph that he was going to be put in the pit. Hallelujah. God did not show Joseph that he was going to be sold. Glory to God. God did not show Joseph that he was going to the prison. Hallelujah. So this is the issue with life. We see pleasantries in life, and then we don't think that there may be chaos, there may be problem along this, you know, pleasantries that we see. Hallelujah. Life is not all about pleasantries. It's ups and downs. There are times when pain comes. There are times when temptation comes. So how are you going to stand up and face the temptation? It's only by holding on to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. It's only by holding on to Jesus and say, no matter what the situation, you know, no matter where it's coming from, whichever way it's going to affect me, I'm going to hold on to God. Hallelujah. This is not about eloquent English. It's about trusting God. Amen. Glory to God. So all of those people were not in the revelation. We are not in the vision that God showed to Joseph. But at the end of the day, what happened? Joseph was sold as a slave. And every step he took, there was always somebody to intervene to make sure that the vision of Joseph come to pass. First of all, it was Reuben who intervened and said, you know what, don't let us kill him. Let us pull it in the pit. And then, you know, let's find a goat or a ram and kill the goat and use the blood to stain the shed and give it to our dad. That was the first step. And then after that, when Reuben left, they brought him out. So, okay, you know what, we're going to sell you now. They sold Joseph. And they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites took Joseph and they sold him to Potiphar, the guy of Pharaoh. And then he was working there, handsome young man, 17 years old. Hallelujah. So while he was working there in the house of Potiphar, problem came. He don't know what to do. But there was one thing he said that I like. I'm going to read that. Genesis 39, verse 9. After all the persuasions of Potiphar's wife, you all know what I mean, and you've read that story several times. This young man said, there is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Then that doesn't touch me. What he said is, how then can I do this great wicked and sin against God? What Joseph is trying to say, first, is a humble person. You see, he took himself out of the picture. He took the other people out of the picture. He considered God first. And the Bible says, love your neighbor as what? As you love yourself. That's what the Bible says. So first, when you consider God, God is ready to go far with you. That's what the brothers, they didn't see when God showed him the vision. So they were thinking that seniority was what? Humility. So Joseph was somebody who is so humble. And because of this, guess what? When they put him in the prison, he began to interpret the dreams. He interpreted the dream, and at the end of the day, he came out and became what God wanted him to be. Let me shock you. Joseph was 17 years when he was sold into slavery. 13 years of his life wasted in the prison. Hallelujah. May God not let us waste our years in the prison. Prison might not just be, you know, being locked in one particular place. It can be a delay of life, delay of destiny, delay of purpose, delay of God's plan for us. So these are the reason why we pray for our kids, for our children, even for the church, for adults as well, that your destiny will not be delayed. His destiny was delayed. Probably nobody interceded. Nobody prayed, because that was not the plan of God for him to go for prison. However, it does happen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm going to round up now. In 2016, when we came into this country, we didn't understand things much. So my family, we tried to put our document, send our document to Home Office. I already have my passport, so she wasn't having her own passport. And then we sent her own with her document because I wanted to give her a document for her to be able to, you know, work here and stay here. And then it took 6 months before they returned everything back to us. And when they returned this thing, nothing we had done. Some of the documents we filled, they said some of the, we didn't fill some of them well. And then it was so, you know, we fed up. How could we, like, how come? How could you have delayed this thing for 6 months? You didn't call us. You didn't send it back on time to us. And by that time, she was already pregnant of Rejoice. So she can't travel. And the document that we sent to Home Office, she needed to go to Spain to go renew the document. Hallelujah. And she was not supposed to stay outside Spain for a period of 6 months or 1 year. And because she was pregnant, she can't travel back to Spain. So for that reason, the document expired and they couldn't renew it. So before it finally expired, she went to Spain trying to renew the document. They told her she can't do anything because she's supposed not to be out of the country for more than 6 months or thereabout. And then so because I was having a passport, they said, okay, there's another option for her. Then they used my passport this time to give her another resident permit over there. So she now came. So this time, she forgot that she doesn't need to stay outside Spain for more than 6 months. The same incident happened again. Glory to God. And when we went back to Spain trying to explain this to them, they never wanted to listen to us. And 2022, because of that crisis that she was going through, she kind of it kind of make her think more. Like, oh, I want to lose my document now. I want to lose my paper. How am I going to get my resident and all these things? Because she was already due to have passport in Spain, but because we were in there, she was unable to, you know, apply for passport. That, you know, that situation, that problem, it kind of marked on her heart. I was feeling for her. Then in February 2022, she went to Spain, I think with her sister Joy, went to spend 1 week. The Lord said to me, pray, fast and pray for 7 days. While she was there, I was praying. And when she returned, she couldn't sort the thing out. I wanted to tell her when she was going that there's no need of going because I know that they're not going to do anything. Just wait here. You get your passport here. But I decided to keep it. But when she went and came back, immediately she came back, she begins to complain that she can't see, that her eyes are blaring. So we thought it was a joke. And we thought it was just a normal thing. And then, you know, begins to like minister some normal medications. We don't know that she was having a diabetic. And we were just like, okay, it will finish, it will go. But the thing, the inner keep persisting. At the end of the day, one day I went to work. So when I went to work, I told her, if it got worse, just call me. She said, okay. So while I was at my workplace, her sister called me. I was like, you know, it's just a normal thing. So because sometimes we don't have time to pick calls in place of work, you know, the rules are there. Then she sent a message that she could hear. She's been trying to call my wife, and nobody's responding, and she knows she's at home. I was like, what is going on? So I still like, you know, she's fine. If she's not fine, she's going to call me. And at the end of the day, she sent a WhatsApp message to me that she is in my house now and that my wife is dying. So that issue of document is what a kind of triggered that situation to escalate as at that time. That's what I believe. Praise God. Now, by the grace of God, all that year, we are now in 2024. Late last year, she begins to, you know, let's cut a long story short because I had to go into all the hospital things that we won't leave here. So let's cut it short. So because of that passport, all those things escalate. And then this last year, she applied I told her to apply for the British passport. Okay. She applied. And she was the kind of person like, you know, she's always like not too confident in terms of doing all this kind of English stuff. But we encourage her. And she did. The first time she went, she passed it. She went to the spoken one, she passed it. At the end of the day, they sent a congratulating letter for her that she's qualified now. Glory to God. And just this year, praise God, I think about a month ago or 2 months ago, that thing that she was looking for that she has lost, glory to God, today she has a British passport in her hand. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. This is holding on to God. This is holding on to God. What are you going through? What are you passing through? What are your challenges? What makes you to cry during the nighttime? What are your pain? Can you turn it over to God? Blessed be your name. Turn it over to God. There is nothing God cannot do. Let me read a bit of scriptures and then round up. Because this is not where I need to do my exegesis and homiletic. No, I'm not doing that. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, come in. Yeah. Okay, Romans chapter, let's start from Isaiah. Isaiah 12 verse 2. Isaiah 12 verse 2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For yea, the Lord is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." You see, in times of trouble, one of the greatest miracles that comes, sometimes God goes with you. He goes with you alongside of that situation, but we don't know. One of the miracles that happens, the miracle of strength for you to be able to go through that situation and come out, you know, without being disturbed, without being, you know, trying to do something else. Like in the case of Susanna Wesley, all the things that happened to her is enough to have make give her, what they call, is it mental health issues? Is it enough to have been something that would have caused, make her to hang herself? It's a kind of thing that would have make her to give up in life. It can even do anything to harm herself. But she never did all that. Why? Because the strength of the Lord was made available for her to go through that situation. Now in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible says, we know that all things work together for good. Hallelujah. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. So we love God. If you love God and you are called according to his purpose, you need to hold on to God. Bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Yeah, I don't want to go beyond this. There are more, but I just want Pastor to take over from here. Because hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor. You can come over here.
Thank you, Frank. It's a real powerful testimony, isn't it? And it's a privilege as pastor of this church, leading a church with a multicultural congregation of standing with people in the battles. And some of you are currently going through those battles, I know. Some of you wouldn't want others to know that you're going through those battles. And I thank Frank for his honesty and openness in sharing some of those battles that they've been through, particularly with the Home Office, and how frustrating it can be just to get those visas and everything else. But let me draw you back to what Frank, the verses that Frank was speaking on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And so it goes on. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, there's no better words that we can take into the month of September. There's no better words that we can take into this coming week. I don't know all that you're facing. I know some of the things that I might be facing or you may be facing. But as you face those things, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. Psalm 37, verse 5, David says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring all things to pass. We don't understand many of the things that we go through. And if we try to understand, we'll end up having a nervous breakdown trying to work it out. And Suzanne Wesley would have been like that. If she tried to work out what she was going through, then, as Frank was saying, she would have probably gone down with mental illness and everything else. Facing debt, facing prison, imprisoned twice, losing 9 babies. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But trusting in the Lord with all our hearts and not leaning on our own understanding, God used every situation, every circumstance in her life to do far more than she could ever have dreamt and imagined with her children. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? She didn't know that one of her sons was going to lead 1 million people to Christ, that hundreds of years later, in virtually every village and town in this country, there would be Methodist churches and people worshipping Jesus because of the work and the ministry of her son. She didn't know that her son Charles was going to write some of the most precious, wonderful hymns, "And Can It Be That I Shall Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood," written by Charles Wesley, full of wonderful theology, full of wonderful truth. And so we can thank God for that. So whatever situation, whatever circumstance you are going through at this present time, however confused you might feel, those questions, why, God, are you allowing this to happen to me? Why is this not working out? Why is the situation getting worse rather than better? You know, God can turn that around. If you put your trust in him and lean not on your own understanding, he can work it out. And he can work it out for his glory and for your good. These last 3 days, just a quick personal testimony. I've been with my brothers and sister. We've met together. First time I think we've actually met together since my mother's funeral 2.5 years ago. And it's been a wonderful time because all four of us, with our four partners, 8 of us, all believers. All believers. And so we've been praying together. We've had fun together. We've had some real fellowship together. I tell you, we come from completely different churches and churchmanships. My goodness gracious me. But that doesn't matter. But we try to focus on those things and some of the hard things we went through. Some of the things that have actually helped to form us to be the people that we are, that God has been able to use for his glory. And so God can turn around. You know, what the enemy means for evil, he turns it for our good, but not just for our good, but for his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. So as you go into this month, trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Amen? Amen. Amen.